All right, that's an old. That's old. That's good. All right, Matthew chapter number 16. If you don't have a Bible today, we want to give you one of our Bibles. So if you forgot your Bible today or you don't have a Bible, go and lift up your hand and one of the ushers will get a Bible for you today. Again, if you don't have one, this is our gift to you. Please take it home and read it. And if you just forgot your Bible or can't find your Bible, go and lift up your hand real high and they'll get it. And I couldn't find my Bible. Even the pastor can't find his Bible from time and again. I'm not sure where it's at, but I did clean out my garage though and found a whole bunch of dishes from past potlucks. So make sure you check out the table on the way out. And I did find a bunch of that, but I'm still on the hunt. I'm still on the hunt for my Bible. So we're so glad you're here today. Let me tell you something. I love the church. I love corporate worship. I love coming together. I've been going to church my whole life. I'm 43 and a half years old, which means I've been going to church for 44 years. Do the math, figure it out. Okay? So I've been going to church all the time. Can I be honest today? Pastor Larry mentioned that earlier, and that's what we try to be. We try to be an honest and transparent bunch around here. I love the church, but I've not always loved church. Does anybody understand what I'm talking about today? Okay? I love the church, but I've not always loved church. Church can be a place that is mean and critical. Church can be a place where there are cliques, insiders, and outsiders. Church can be a place of politics, power, and persuasion. Many of us have been hurt by church. And maybe you have some of that in your past that you struggle with. When my family returned to California in 2011, I truly and honestly wondered if I would ever be a pastor again. And then something amazing happened. While our family was trying to settle in the Natomas area of Sacramento, God opened the door for us to return to Yuba City. And then God opened the door for me to help a little country church up in Richvale that was without a pastor for the remainder of that first summer back. If you're not sure where Richvale is, you go like you're going to Oroville. Oroville, you turn right. Richvale, you turn left. Very, very small community, but there's a very small evangelical free church there. They're without a pastor. And through some of the connections I had, they asked, would you come and would you be willing to come and just fill the pulpit for us and just you know, be our pastor while we're looking for a pastor. And so I was working at Walmart overnight. I was working 10 to 7. I'd get off at 7 o'clock in the morning. I'd run home. I'd shower. We'd drive up to Richvale and be a part of their services. And then Tracy would drive us home because I was usually asleep by then. But we had such a great experience up there in that little church. They loved us. They encouraged us. They supported us. And we have friends there to this day still. And I'm so thankful for that church and how God used that church to be a blessing and encouragement to us. So when God began to work in my heart about the possibility of planting this church, it was like, okay, all the things we've seen wrong in church before, we're going to fix. We're going to make it better. It's going to be the perfect church, right? Wrong, because none of us is perfect. None of us is perfect. And so we're young and we're learning and we're growing. And I'm looking forward to what God is doing. We got a new puppy a few weeks ago. And I know it's in the wrong order there, Ian, so you can find it for me. So this is Bella. And she's a pit lab mix that our teenage son conned us into getting, which is a whole other story, and I'll tell it to you later if you want to hear it. But you know, we it's like having a baby. How many of you ever had a puppy in your house before? Okay, how many of you have ever killed said puppy? All right, I'd like to talk to you. This whole puppy thing is worse than having a baby in the house, and we're constantly this like, you know, she's not being bad, she's being what? She's being a puppy. So come on, PG, get a grip and be patient and gracious and kind. But, she's chewing on everything in my house. We're a young church. We're growing. We're developing. We're doing some things that are really, really good, and we're learning some lessons along the way. We're excited about what God is doing. So this new series is Rediscover Church, and it's not designed to in any way reinvent the church. We're not about reinventing the church. We're not about, you know, what can we do to make church, you know, hip and cool and exciting and all those kinds of things. It's simply going back and modeling the original blueprint. So we're doing several weeks of going through what the Bible teaches on the church, weaving in who God has called us to be. And I just want to encourage you to pray for this series. I'm taking a bit more of an organic approach to my preaching calendar this year. This time last year, 2013, I had my entire preaching calendar set for the entire year. Last January, I could have told you what my message series was going to be in July and in September and in November and December, the entire year. And that was really beneficial to me. It helped me. It helped keep me focused. But I also found it a little bit restrictive at times because I'd be preaching on a subject and obviously still praying and ministering and talking to folks. And there were some times where I'd be preaching and teaching and thinking, I got to get through this because I got to do part three in 2 weeks. And I've got this calendar I've got to keep up on. I'm not doing that this year, at least at the start of the year. I'm going to take, like I said, just more of a, if you want to say, a spirit-filled approach. You know, I just want to be praying. I want you to be praying. We're going to be talking a lot about who God wants us to be as a church, doing some collaboration with Pastor Larry and with Jeff about, you know, just the service design and order and things of that nature. So I'd encourage you to pray for us and pray for me as we go through this series together. I'm really, really excited about it. We're going to start in Matthew chapter 16, then we're going to flip over to Ephesians in a little bit. But starting here, Matthew chapter 16, I'm actually going to start in verse number 13. It's page 700 if you've got one of those adventure Bibles. The Bible says, "Now when Jesus came into the district of Caesarea Philippi, he asked his disciples, 'Who do people say that the Son of Man is?' And they said, 'Some say John the Baptist, others say Elijah, others Jeremiah, or one of the prophets.' He said to them, 'But who do you say that I am?' Simon Peter replied, 'You are the Christ, the Son of the living God.' And Jesus answered him, 'Blessed are you, Simon Barjona, for flesh and blood has not revealed this to you, but my Father who is in heaven. And I tell you, you are Peter, and on this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it.'" Let's pray together. Father God, thank you so much for the gift and the blessing of the church. Thank you for this church. And thank you for all the good Bible-teaching churches in our community. And Lord, I pray that you would help us to rediscover the value and the importance of what it means to be a part of a local church family, a local church assembly, a congregation, a community of faith. I thank you for the privilege, and I ask your blessing upon this message and upon the entire series that will follow. We ask for your wisdom. We ask for your Spirit to speak to our hearts and lives, and we'll give you praise. In Jesus' name we ask it. Amen. As we rediscover church, we find that it's all about God and His work in our lives, our community, and our world, not us. Not us. It's so easy to think things about us, isn't it? Especially in our world today. So much of our culture is about convenience and comfort. I want to look a certain way. I want it to taste a certain way. I want it to feel a certain way. I recently got my eyes checked and went to the doctor, got my new prescription. And I was really excited because it was the exact same prescription I had 4 years ago, which was the last time I got my eyes checked. And I was like, yes! I'm so excited that my eyesight has remained the same, much, you know, to the surprise of my wife, who, you know, thought that surely my vision, hey, everything looks fine. You need to get your eyes checked. Are you sure that that really looks fine? That garage looks fine to you? I'm not so entirely sure. Anyway, I remember when I first got contacts, when I was in college. So several years ago, I got contact lenses. And you remember when it used to be, remember those of you that wore contact lenses back like, you know, 20, 25 years ago? You had to like put a hazmat suit on, right? You know, you had to clean them, you had to sanitize them, you had to sterilize them, you had to store them in a certain way. I had this kind of little case and it had like bubbles. It was like Alka-Seltzer or something, you know? You had to put a little tablet in the bottom. And now they prescribe to me these contacts, and they're daily wear contacts. They're daily wear. You get up in the morning, you put them in, you wear them all day. At the end of the day, you take them out and you throw them in the trash. And then the next day you get a brand new one out of the case. I'm like, this is sweet. I love this. This is awesome. And what is that? It is convenient. And that there's just so much about our lives today that are all about just our convenience. Church is not about us. Church is not about us. And that can be a real challenge because it is so countercultural to what we normally are used to as we go through this world. I was thinking about this I'm talking about somebody this week, and I remembered a video that I've shown. It's been a couple of years ago, I think it was when we first started the church, and so I decided to show it again today. It's really cute, funny. I think you'll get a kick out of it. So guys, go and hit that Me Church, where it's all about you. Check it out.
Imagine a church where every member is passionately, wholeheartedly, and recklessly calling the shots.
I have a busy work week, and by the time Sunday rolls around, I'm tired. So how about a church service that starts when I get there?
Can do. When you arrive, we begin.
This guy, he plays by his own rules. We want to find a church where if he starts screaming, we're not the bad guys, right?
Say no more. If your baby's screaming, you stay seated. The others around you can leave.
You know, financially, Sherry and I don't give a lot to the church, but we'd sure like to know who does.
All right, if you join now, you'll know what every person gives in detail.
When I'm in the church service, can my car get a buff and a wax?
Not just that, but an oil change and a tune-up.
Hey, how about tickets to the Super Bowl?
That's asking too much.
I'm serious. If I'm going to join, I want tickets to the big game.
All right, you join now and we'll get you there.
I like a pony.
Look in your backyard. Me Church, where it's all about you.
You know, that sounds pretty good. Tickets to the big game, Super Bowl. Man, we'd have a huge crowd, wouldn't we? Go to Adventure Church, get tickets to the Super Bowl. Woo! I'm there. All right. It's so important to begin this conversation about the church with God and not with us. You know, so many times when we think about church, we think about us. And we think about, you know, what a church can offer. And we think about what needs we might have. We're going to get there. There's a place for that. But we're not going to start there. I want to make sure that our entire viewpoint is theocentric or God-centered, understanding the institutions that God has ordained, be it the family, government, or the church. The difficulty we get into is when we get a humanistic or an egocentric view to these issues. When we get an egocentric view, when it revolves around our thinking and our understanding, sometimes that gets us into trouble. So when we look at the institutions of God, we need to look at it from a theocentric viewpoint, a God-centered view of these things. So that's why I want to start there today. I want to make sure that as we enter into the series and rediscover church, that we don't start at it from our vantage point, but we take it from God's vantage point. As it relates to the church, it cannot begin with us. We are not consumers in the spiritual marketplace. We belong to a community of faith that contributes to the body of Christ and the kingdom of God around the world. So let's not start with us. Let's start with Him. So in your bulletin, you've got an outline if you want to follow along. We've got a couple of points we're going to share today that I hope will be a help and an encouragement. And as always, if you have questions or comments or thoughts about the message, things that you'd like further clarification on or just want to pray through, please contact me. Please let me know. Please get in touch with me. And that goes across the board. If there are things going on in your life that you need someone to pray with, you need somebody to talk to, that's why I'm here. And so my contact information's in the bulletin. Many of you have got me on Facebook as friends. We want to be here for you. So please let me know if there's anything we can do to be a help or an encouragement to you. So point number one, God is building His church. What does He say here? In Matthew chapter 16, Jesus is having this conversation. Like, hey, who do people say, what are you hearing? What are you hearing out there in the community? I'm like, well, some people think you're John the Baptist. Some people think you're Elijah, Jeremiah. Like, you've come back from the dead. You're like one of the old prophets that's come back. God has sent them back to, you know, to teach us and to proclaim the kingdom of God. Peter says, you are the Christ, the Son of the living God. And Jesus said, is on that rock, on that declaration of who Jesus is, on this rock, I will build my church. God is building His church. It's easy to think about this as ours. And there is something to be said about taking ownership, feeling a sense of responsibility. We're going to talk about stewardship. We're going to talk about community and family and what that involves on this plane. But for this message, as we start with this God-centered, this theocentric viewpoint, it is God building His church. Any of you enjoy playing Legos as a kid? You know, Legos. You see there's a Lego movie coming out? wow, I can't wait. I mean, that looks like the greatest thing ever, you know. And what is it about Lego? You know, you're building stuff. You're building villages, and you're building spacecraft, and you're building towns, and you're building cars and rocket ships and all these things, building it from scratch. God is building His church. This is God's church, and He is the one who's building it. We need to be faithful and trust God. You're going to hear this a lot from me this year, because I got away a couple days between Christmas and New Year's, and I was really challenged with this thought: be faithful and trust God. Be faithful and trust God. We just cannot sometimes, well, most of the time, control the outcome of what God is going to do. God is going to do what God is going to do. God is sovereign. God has a plan. God has a purpose. We need to be faithful and trust in whatever God decides to do. That's what we need to do. We can get caught in the rat race of trying to figure it all out. How do we increase the attendance? How do we increase the giving? How do we increase the passion? How do we increase the connection? How do we do certain things? And it's a real temptation for us as pastors, because as Neil was talking about last week, we are the professional religious people, right? We are the professionals. You know, you pay me a salary to try to figure things out. And the more I've been doing this, 19 years in ministry, the longer I'm in it, the more I realize I need to be faithful and trust God. That's it. That's absolutely it. And so I'm going to be faithful. I'm going to try. I'm going to do my part to the best of my ability. I'm going to stumble. I'm going to make mistakes, just like you are. We're all going to be in this together. But ultimately, we're going to trust God. Why? Because He is the one building this church. He is building His church. We need to learn to hold it loosely. This is God's church. You are God's people. In our advisory team meeting this last week, we just were talking about, you know, the church and the dynamics, and that's what we talk about when we get together as leaders in the church. And we just were, you know, reflecting back a little bit since our previous meeting and thinking about, you know, people that have moved away. Man, it's so sad to have people move away, you know, whether it's an Air Force move, or it's a job move, or it's a move that's better for the family, or things of that nature. It's been a great reminder for us that, you know, those people are not ours. They're God's people, and God is going to lead them, and God led them here, and God is now leading them to another part of the country, and we're praying that they'll find a church, and they'll find a family, and they'll find a community of faith that they can plug into. We need to hold it loosely. It's not about us. It's about Him. Just let that resonate into our minds today. It is not about us. It is about Him. God is building His church, and this is free. God's going to do a whole lot better job than any of us can do. So let's trust Him. Let's be faithful and trust God. Number two, let's turn over to Ephesians chapter number 5. God loves His church. Ephesians chapter number 5. That's page 838 if you've got one of those Bibles we handed out. God loves His church. Now, we're going to read this text together. It's 21 through 33. And this is the text about husbands and wives and the marriage relationship. But I want you to notice interwoven through it, this teaching about Christ and the church. And there's some really great, powerful teaching here. Verse 21, submitting to one another out of reverence for Christ. Verse 22, wives, submit to your own husbands as to the Lord. For the husband is the head of the wife, even as Christ is the head of the church, His body, and is Himself its Savior. Now as the church submits to Christ, so also wives should submit in everything to their husbands. Husbands, love your wives as Christ loved the church and gave Himself up for her, that He might sanctify her, or set her apart, having cleansed her by the washing of water with the word, so that He might present the church to Himself in splendor, without spot or wrinkle or any such thing, that she might be holy and without blemish. In the same way, husbands should love their wives as their own bodies. He who loves his wife loves himself. For no one ever hated his own flesh, but nourishes and cherishes it, just as Christ does the church, because we are members of His body. Therefore a man shall leave his father and mother and hold fast to his wife, and the two shall become one flesh. This mystery is profound, and I'm saying that it refers to Christ and the church. However, let each one of you love his wife as himself, and let the wife see that she respects her husband. I love this picture of the love between a husband and a wife. We've had a great spurt of weddings here recently. And so the O'Briens and the Knowles and the Calows and the Gomez's. Are they here today? Are Kat and Irvin here? Hey, congratulations! Mr. and Mrs. Irvin Gomez are in the house. Congratulations. Great to see you guys. Okay? And I got to tell you, there are lots of really cool things about being a pastor. Okay? Not the least of which is having Monday off. But after that is doing weddings. Oh, I love being a part. What a wonderful opportunity to be a part of someone's love story and someone's celebration and two people coming together to form a new family. I love this picture of the love between a husband and wife. And when you see those pictures and when you see, you know, newly married couples and people that have new babies, new children, it's like just the love. It just radiates off of them. I love being around that. It's so very cool. Think about the love you have in your family for your spouse or for your children. He says, we need to love as Christ loves the church and gave himself up for her. Think about the great love that God has for his church and sending his son Jesus to die on the cross. Think about the love that you have in your family. Think about your spouse. Think about your children. Think about your grandchildren. Think about, there's nothing that you would not do because you love them so much and you love them so dearly. A couple days ago, and some of you on my Facebook, you saw this, that our son went to an FFA retreat leadership conference thing in Reading. And so he's part of the FFA at Yuba City High School. And so he had this overnight thing that he had at in Reading. And it was overnight. And there were going to be chaperones and sponsors. And he was staying in a hotel. And, you know, he was going to be gone. And so I dropped him off at school and, you know, took his picture. And he saw it on Facebook. And said, "Dad, come on. You know, what am I, in kindergarten, first day of school? Oh, come on, just humor your dad. Let me take your picture." And I take his picture. I drop him off. You know, he's getting ready to get on the bus or get on the van to go up to Reading. And I'm driving away like, "My son," you know, and I'm like, "Okay, he's 147 days away." He told me today, 147 days away today from leaving for the Marine Corps. You know, so I called Tracy right then. I'm like, "Trey, it's gonna be bad. I'm crying sending him to Reading for an FFA thing. What's it going to be like on June 16th when I say goodbye to him and he goes to boot camp in the Marine Corps?" Why? Why do we feel that way with our children? Why do we feel that way with our? Because we love them. We love with everything. We love them. We would do anything for them. God loves his church. God loves it. He sent his son to die for it. God loves this church more even than we do. He gave his son for this church. How many of us would sacrifice a child, one of our own children, for someone else? Sorry, not me. But God loved us so much that he sent his son. And Jesus came to this world some 2,000 years ago because we had a sin debt that we could not pay on our own. And Jesus came. He died on the cross for our sins and took that pain, took that punishment, took that guilt, took that hell, took all that upon himself. So that by trusting and believing in his finished work on Calvary, we could be reconciled back to God. Man, it's an awesome, awesome story. And if you're here today and you've never experienced the love of God through Christ, talk to one of us today. We would love to take a Bible and show you what the Bible teaches, not what Adventure believes, what the Bible teaches, which is that also what Adventure believes, about what it means to become a child of God. God loves his church. He loves this place. He loves this gathering. He looks down upon us today and smiles because he loves his church. And number three, lastly, turn back just a page to Ephesians chapter 4. God has great plans for his church. God has great plans for his church. Starting in verse number 11. And he gave the apostles, the prophets, the evangelists, the shepherds and teachers to equip the saints for the work of ministry, for building up the body of Christ, until we all attain to the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God, to mature manhood, to the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ, so that we may no longer be children, tossed to and fro by waves and carried about by every wind of doctrine, by human cunning, by craftiness in deceitful schemes. Rather, speaking the truth in love, we are to grow up in every way into Him who is the head, into Christ, from whom the whole body, joined and held together by every joint with which it is equipped, when each part is working properly, makes the body grow so that it builds itself up in love. That's an awesome picture of the work that God is doing. God has great plans for His church. Church is not simply an event. It is not simply an event. It is a journey of faith that continues from the time someone becomes a follower of Jesus until the day they die. Until the day they are, as the Bible says it, we attain to the unity of the faith and the knowledge of the Son of God, to mature manhood. That day, it continues, this journey of faith. He is doing something in our lives as individuals. He is doing something in our lives corporately. I'm really grateful, and we're going to talk about this more this year as we kind of focus on some different things for 2014. And that is the stories of people. I hear a lot of the stories because I'm the pastor, and I've become a funnel for, you know, information and different things that are happening in the church. And we want to start sharing those stories. We want to make sure that other people in our congregation can be encouraged in knowing that that what God is doing in your life, that may be just the thing that God is going to use to encourage someone else in our church. Because God is working. God is always working in our lives. He's teaching us things. He's revealing things to us. He's showing us things. He's orchestrating the events to say, wow, God, look what God is doing in this person's life. Look what God is doing in my life. Look at this circumstance that I thought was just kind of by chance, and yet God has supernaturally ordained it for me to be at the right place at the right time to accomplish something specific for His will. God is working, and we want to share those stories. And so when you get a phone call or an email or a Facebook from me saying, hey, can we get together? I'd like to talk to you about something. That's probably what it is. Okay? So just a warning. But I hope that you'll embrace that opportunity, and don't be shy and don't be bashful. We'll help you and coach you and give you some tools that'll be a help and a blessing to you. We want to start hearing. I mean, how many are here for the November, the Thanksgiving service, the Thanksgiving praise service? We just kind of passed around the microphone. Wasn't that awesome? I mean, those services, and I've already decided in May, we have two, you know, kind of praise times, one's in May and one's in, we're going to do that in May. I don't want to wait all the way to November to hear all those stories. What we want to do is we want to take opportunities like that, you know, once a week or a couple times a month or however God provides people, to begin sharing some of the stories of what God's doing. What's God doing in your small group? What's God doing, with the team that you're on? What's God doing in the job place that He has you? Those kinds of things. So God is working in our lives individually, but He is doing something in our lives corporately as well. There is no I in team, right? There isn't one in church either. There's no I in team. There's no I in church. There's a lot of red in the congregation today. So the 49ers are playing here in a couple of hours. Excited about that? Absolutely, absolutely. I'm just, wow. A lone voice crying in the wilderness. Seahawks. I admire that. Because I'm a Cubs and a Bears fan, so postseason means nothing to me. Nothing. But if the 49ers win today, if they win, okay, or if they lose, all right. Ah, see, there's some strength. Rediscover church. We split the church, you know, third Sunday of the year over the football game. What's the reality? What's the reality, though? If the 49ers win or lose, they're going to do it as what? They're going to do it as a team. They're going to do it as a team, okay? No matter what the outcome is, They're going to win as a team, or they're going to lose. They're going to do it as a team. They're going to do it together. And friends, he has brought us together. And it's not about just, you know, putting the ball on the other side of the goal line. He spiritually has got us here to make an impact in our community. We're not here just to do a service. We are here to build up the body of Christ and to expand the kingdom of God and to be an encouragement to those people that are around us. He has provided leaders. He talks here in Ephesians 4. He's provided leaders to help accomplish his purpose. Pray for our leadership. Pray for me. Pray for our advisory team. Pray as we discuss and we plan and we seek God's face. God, this is your church. What do you want to do? And then what are those plans? I mean, just thinking about, you know, some of the things that he has said here. He's given all these things to equip the saints, verse 12, for the work of ministry, for the building up of the body of Christ. I'll just call this to kind of tie it in with last week's message that Neil gave, which is on our website if you didn't hear it. It was a fantastic message. To be kingdom laborers. To be kingdom laborers. To do the work of the ministry. To be involved in the lives of people. To be grounded in our faith, so that we be no longer children tossed to and from by waves and carried about by every wind of doctrine, by human cunning, by craftiness and deceitful schemes. To be grounded in our faith, to study the Bible, to spend time in prayer. We're meeting for prayer on Wednesdays. Wednesday morning, 6 to 7. Wednesday night, 6 to 7. If you want to come over to the ministry center, join us in prayer. That would be awesome. If you want to take time where you're at those times and join us corporately in prayer, do that. To be grounded in our faith. To speak truth in love, verse 15. Rather, speaking the truth in love. To have that knowledge. What does the Bible say? What is truth? But to do it in love. To have grace. Knowledge and grace. Speak truth in love. To grow up in Him. I love this. To grow up in every way into Him who is the head, into Christ. In every facet of your life. To grow up in Him. We look at our kids and they're growing up to be like us in many respects. They pick up on our personalities. They pick up on our temperament. They pick up on our skill set. And we see in our children things that we have passed along to them. And they're growing up in us. What the Bible is speaking here in a spiritual sense is we're growing up into Him in every way so that we might begin looking and imitating Jesus Christ. And then I love this picture of working together in love, from whom the whole body, joined and held together by every joint with which it is equipped, when each part is working properly, makes the body grow so that it builds itself up in love. To work together in love. God is working. God has great plans for His church. As we rediscover church, we find that it's all about God. It's all about Him and His work in our lives, community, and world, not us. God is building His church. It's His, not ours. God loves His church. He demonstrated that by sending His Son to die for us. God has great plans for His church. He is working not just as individuals, but corporately. He is working in our midst. I had the privilege this week of meeting with some of our fellow church planters in Northern California. Did my first Google Hangout video chat thing. It was awesome. It was really a lot of fun. We were all scattered around Northern California. But through the beauty of that technology, we were able to interact, you know, face-to-face, you know, through the internet. And we did a little study on Charles Spurgeon. Charles Spurgeon, the Prince of Preachers, is his moniker. And so many wonderful things that he preached, so many wonderful things that he taught. I want to close with just and it was just a real encouragement to me as we kind of outlined. We actually were examining a paper that John Piper had written about Charles Spurgeon, and it was just such an encouragement to my heart. I wanted to grab some quotes related to the church and close with these. Beloved, if it had been possible to destroy the church of God on earth, it would have been destroyed long ago. That is so true. The church is not perfect, but woe to the man who finds pleasure in pointing out her imperfections. Christ loved His church and let us do the same. I have no doubt that the Lord can see more fault in His church than I can, and I have equal confidence that He sees no fault at all. because he covers her faults with his own love. That love which covers a multitude of sins, and it removes all her defilement with that precious blood which washes away all the transgressions of his people. Amen. And one last one. If I had never joined a church till I found one that was perfect, I should never have joined one at all. And the moment I did join it, if I had found one, I should have spoiled it. For it would not have been a perfect church after I had become a member of it. Still, imperfect as it is the dearest place on earth to us. I love that. The dearest place on earth to us. We are grateful for the church. But we are also grateful for this church. May the name of the Lord always be exalted here, and may we give God the opportunity to freely and fully work in our hearts as we rediscover what church is all about. Let's pray together. Father God, thank you so much for the time together this morning. And we just ask, dear Lord, that you would work in our hearts today. Lord, there may be someone here who has really struggled with church in the past, and maybe this is just what they needed to hear. And Lord, they needed to be reminded again that you are building the church, you love the church, you have great plans for the church. And Father, I pray that those wounds and those scars that over time that they might heal. I thank you for the healing that you've brought into my life and into my family's life. And I pray, Lord, for those that may still carry those scars with them even today. Bless them, encourage them, watch over them, and remind them today of your love. And Father, I pray that as we move forward into this year, as we enter our third year of ministry together, that our church would always be a reflection of your design. And that we would always be seeking to win people to Jesus Christ, to see people grow in their faith, to see people serving within the church, within the congregation community, and then reaching out into our world, both here at home, across our state, across our nation, and around the world. Father, help us to be that kind of a church. And thank you so much for the love, for the encouragement. Thank you for the opportunity that we've had today to gather and worship together. Dismiss us with your blessing, I pray, in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. I want to thank you so much for being here today. I want to thank you for being the kind of church that when I talk to people on the phone or email or Facebook, folks come and they visit, they say, I was so warmly greeted. I was so friendly. I just thank you for that. And let's not ever take that for granted. Let's continue to be that kind of a church. Thanks for coming today. I want to encourage you, if you're able to stay and help us tear some things down. We have youth group back tonight from 6 to 8 o'clock, so we don't need to put the lunch tables down. But everything else needs to be taken care of this morning. So if you can stay and help, that would be awesome. And just want to, again, thank you for being here. Stop by the information table for the stuff that's back there. If you have any questions about anything going on here at the church, be sure to contact us. And we just wish you a blessed week. Come back next week and bring somebody with you. And may the team of your choice have a wonderful afternoon. I'm pulling for the Broncos, so whatever it is. So let's stand together.